The following is a presentation from the pulpit of Lancaster Baptist Church. For more audio and video content from our ministry, please visit lancasterbaptist.org.
Thank you, Pastor. A few weeks ago, last week, I got to be a deacon for 2 days. And tonight I'm going to be a pastor for 10 minutes, okay? So I'm really getting up in the world, okay? If you live long enough, no telling what will happen. Pastor preached this morning from Luke chapter 16. Let me read one of those verses that he read this morning. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 11, the Bible says, "If therefore you have not been faithful in unrighteous manna," and what he's talking about is materialistic things and money, okay? "If you've not been faithful in unrighteous manna, who will commit unto your trust the true riches?" So he's comparing materialistic things with spiritual things. I was born in Nortonville, Kentucky on May the 30th, 1933. Now, pretty easy to figure out, okay, May 30th, I'll be 80 years old. And many of you are shocked. You thought I was 95, okay? Okay. And when I was born in 1933, I was born in abject poverty. They didn't have a poverty line back in those days. If they did, everybody in our neighborhood would have been way under the poverty line. Would have been like Dr. Tom Malone told about that couple down in Alabama reading the newspaper. Paul couldn't read, so Ma was reading to him, and she was reading the newspaper during the times of Roosevelt, and she said, "Paul, look at this. According to the newspaper, FDR is going to do away with poverty." And the old man said, "Do away with poverty? If they do away with poverty, we won't have nothing left, okay?" And we were about like that, okay? Now think about it. No electricity, no running water, no floor-to-floor carpet. In fact, we didn't have floor-to-floor walling, or flooring. You could look through the floor and see the ground sometimes. And, you know, no telephones. Just about everything you can think about, we think is essential, that we had absolutely none of those. And in fact, my house did not have electricity till I was a junior in high school. When I graduated from high school, the farthest I'd ever been from home was from Nortonville, Kentucky, to the Grand Ole Opera in Nashville. We were very cultured people. We went to the opera, okay? But that's the farthest I'd ever been from home. And Virginia and I got married at a young age, and I won't tell you how young because some of you folks are about that age and you're not old enough to get married, okay? But after we got married, we moved up to northern Indiana. And we had not been members of the Black Oak Baptist Church in just a few weeks. And our pastor, Brother W. Jones, preached a real simple sermon on tithing. And he just explained from Malachi chapter 3 that the tithe belongs to the Lord and that the local church is the storehouse. And the tithe means 10% of everything that God gives you. And then he mentioned a couple of things like, if you don't tithe, you're robbing God. And I sat there and listened. I probably had heard about tithing before, but I hadn't paid any attention, I guess. But as I listened as a young husband to that message that night, or that morning, I went forward at the end of the service, and I said to the pastor, "Pastor John, I believe what you preached today. I don't want to rob God. And from this day forward, I'm going to give at least 10% of everything that God gives to me back to God through this church, okay? Or whatever church I'm a member of." And that day, Brother Jones told the congregation about my commitment. And he was happy that a young man had made a good decision, okay? Now, when he said, "Don has committed himself to be a tither," the treasurer didn't jump up and say, "Praise God, now that Don's going to tithe, our financial problems are over." 1952, okay? 1952. My salary was $40 a week, a dollar an hour. Now, what I'm emphasizing is my tithe made absolutely no impact on the treasure of Black Oak Baptist Church. But it made an impact on me. Amen. It proved to me that if I do what God told me to do, God would provide for me. Amen. All right. Now, that's been over 60 years ago. By the grace of God, I've never failed to give at least 10% of everything God gave me back through my church, to my local church. 1968, I heard for the first time about faith promise giving, and from Dr. Billy McCarroll. By the way, everything I learned in church. good thing to come to church, amen. A good thing to listen to what's being taught and so forth. And if you're not a tither, not only are you robbing God, you're robbing yourself. Because God had promised us to bless us if we tithe. Now that was 60 years ago. You could not give me enough money to get me to quit tithing. As soon as I heard about Faith Promise, I got involved in it. I went back and told my home church about it. We had a Faith Promise conference. I made a commitment, 1968, to give $5 a week to missions above my tithing offering. Now again, somebody might say, well, that wasn't much faith. But I was a missionary in Japan, and I had $500 a month total support. Okay? So it did take some faith. Now that was 1968. And every year since then, we've made a new faith promise, and we've increased our faith promise every year. October, we increased our faith promise again. This coming October, the Lord willing, we'll do it again, okay? And again, you could not pay me enough money to get me to quit giving to missions through faith promise giving. It just proves that if we'll do what God tells us to do, then God will bless us. Now, think about it. The amount is not important. Now, maybe somebody sitting here tonight and say, well, my tithe would not make an impact on the church. It wouldn't, but it would make an impact on you. And not only that, if you'll be faithful with unrighteous manna, money, materialistic things, the Bible says God will entrust to us spiritual things. I heard Dr. Heifer Overby preach from Acts 20, verse 35 one day. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Now, I was tithing. I was giving the faith promise. But sometimes it wasn't with great joy, okay? You've given like that, amen? I hear people say every once in a while, now give till it hurts. And I tell people, no need saying that. It hurts some Baptists to give a dollar, amen? So, but the Bible doesn't teach us to give till it hurts. I believe he teaches us to give till it feels good, amen? The joy of giving. And Dr. Hafford Overby preached a real simple message on the joy of giving. And from that time on, my concept of giving was totally changed. And then we came to Lancaster Baptist Church. And I was out nearly every Sunday. Pastor was preaching Sunday after Sunday about the mission stewardship, the giving, the offering, and so forth. And when Virginia and I started praying about what we would give, she had listened to all the sermons. And when we wrote down what we believed God would have us to give, hers was so much bigger than mine, I thought she had gone crazy, okay? And but eventually we decided, okay, we'll do what God's laid on your heart. And so, and the joy of giving. Now think about it. Born in Kentucky, abject poverty. But every time I heard about the matter of giving, I was obedient to what God said do. And think what's happened. The farthest I'd ever been from Nortonville, Kentucky, was 90 miles. I have 3 million miles on Delta Airline alone. I've got to go to 65 different countries around the world. God let me be a preacher. God let me be a missionary. God let me be the director of one of the largest mission organizations in the world. Now think about it. If I had not been faithful with the materialistic things that God put in my hand and that preachers taught me to do, I don't believe God would have entrusted to me the spiritual things that he had. Say it with me. It is more blessed to give than receive. Let's all say that together. It is more blessed to give than receive. Once again, okay? It is more blessed to give than receive. College students, high school students, doesn't matter who you are. People on fixed income, doesn't make any difference. All of us ought to be giving to the work of God. And in the elevate, magnify, offering, everybody can do something. And the worst thing we do is to do nothing because we can't think we can't do much. And I would challenge you tonight, if you're not tithing, if you're not giving to mission, if you're not involved in the special offering, get involved. I mean, it pays to serve the Lord. And when I think from where God has brought me from and all the wonderful things he's let me do, and of course when I resigned from Baptist International Missions as the director and president, I honestly, from the depth of my heart, would have thought the main part of my life ministry is over. And then lo and behold, God let me come to Lancaster, California. I left all those trees and grass and all that junk in eastern Tennessee and came out, and now I'm living among the tumbleweeds and the Joshua tree, and I'm as happy as I've ever been my whole life. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank Dr. Sis for sharing that with us. What a treasure Dr. Sisk is to our church, and just appreciate that counsel and that admonishment to be faithful to our Lord.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If this message has helped you, we hope you will share with a friend or family member. We always love to hear from those whom God has changed through His Word. Share your story with us at lancasterbaptist.org/contact.